Well, it's time for us to move into the time of looking at God's word and thinking about how it applies to us and where we're going. And now, at the beginning of many years, churches often have like a vision casting Sunday. And today I'm not so much wanting to sort of cast a vision for the life of our church, but I want to maybe try and help you to cast a vision for your life with God this year. What you would like to see happen, where you'd like to see it go. And so when you get to the end of December in this year, you can look back and say, yeah, I went somewhere with God. We achieved some things. We changed some things. We grew in some ways, whatever it is. And because each one of us is uniquely different and have been following God in different ways for different lengths of time and with different backgrounds and different challenges, each of the ways that we maybe hope and dream and plan and work towards growing in our life with God this year will be different and unique. But I guess what I wanted to do today is I want to give you remind you of a framework that we use and give you some snapshots that might just feed into your thinking about what your life as a follower of Jesus might be at the end of this year compared to where you are now. And we have often, over the last few years, talked about four simple words that help us remember those things. And those words are really short words too: with, like, for, and copy. And just because they're short words and simple words to say doesn't mean they're simplistic. And we're not saying that all of the Christian life condenses to this, but these are great, great starting points. And if you wanted to have a place to start or a door to walk through, just picking one of these doors can really help you do that. And in fact, it's good for us to think about how we can grow in all of those, all of these ways along through our life this year. And so we're going to start with the first word, and we're looking at some snapshots here. The with, and we've already addressed this back on the in some ways the with God life. We talked about that both in terms of the theme of the Bible, we're looking at the theme of temple, but also in our own lives too. That's a great opportunity that we have. And there's many different ways we can think about it. And I just want to, share a few different ways this today so that they might be things that you find helpful. Because we can talk about being with God in some ways and that doesn't really click for you. And then we can talk about God in other ways and you'll find, yes, that does really click for me. And so we're going to start with some scriptures. And there's just so many scriptures, particular verses that we could look at that talk about the with God life. But here I'm just going to pick up two. One is from the end of Matthew's gospel in Matthew 28. When Jesus says, "Surely I am with you always." You see, and that's the basis of the with God life, that God is with us. We don't have to go somewhere to be with God. God has come somewhere to be with us. And one of the verses that talks about how we respond to that is from 2 Corinthians 4:18, where it says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And so this is all about the fact that there is a spiritual world that's all around us as well. But we grow up in a culture that really focuses on the material world. Now, that's not the same in every culture. You go to some other cultures, and by just aspects of their culture, they're highly attuned to the fact that there is a spiritual world all around them, permeating every aspect of their lives. But in our culture, that's probably not the case. And so we need to recognize that the culture around us, by and large, is shaping us and forming us to ignore or neglect the spiritual reality. And so we need to then actively respond to that. And as this verse says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And last week I referred to the book Life in God's Presence by Kenneth Bower, and he quotes C.S. Lewis, who said that humans are sort of amphibious beings. So this is another way we might look at it. Frogs are amphibious because they can survive on land or in water. They're able to live in the water, but they can also hop on land. We're not amphibious from a biological standpoint, but we are from a spiritual one. Like frogs, we live in one world while belonging to another. We can be with God, the God of heaven, while our feet are firmly planted on earth. A lot of us live as if there's a God world and a separate material world. We develop a sort of sacred secular dichotomy keeping the two worlds separate in our mind and practice, but we weren't made to live like this. God hardwired us to grasp both worlds simultaneously. He set eternity in the human heart, it says in Ecclesiastes 3:11. The visible and the invisible are both real. They are not separate. They are integrated. And when our lives reflect this fact, we become more the people God intends us to be. So you might just like to think about yourself as a person this year who's amphibious in nature. You live in two worlds at the same time, the seen and the unseen, the spiritual and the material, wherever you happen to be. So that's the first simple thing, and that we are amphibious. Now, the biological way of thinking about it may not be something that you really get into. So maybe a digital way of thinking about it is this. You know, there's a phrase that talks about people that have been born in the last 15 to 20 years, that they've grown up with the internet. And so they're described as digital natives. Just using the internet and being connected to the internet and interacting with other people through the internet is just second nature to them. They find it easy to grasp how the technology works, and it just sort of happens around them as part of who they are all the time. They get lots of things from the internet, and they contribute lots of things to the internet just as much as the world around them. Now, some of us were born a while ago, and we wouldn't describe ourselves as digital natives, but even those of us who are least technically engaged over the last 12 months have become more technically engaged, even if it is being able to connect virtually like we are today. And so it doesn't matter how old you are, it's possible for us to be more, to grow in our ability to be connected to the digital world. So maybe another phrase about it, way you'd like to think about it, is, are you a spiritual native? Do you just sort of move in and out and connect with the spiritual world and God's presence with us in an automatic sort of way? And the good thing is that we can make progress. These are things that we can, just like we, even if we've never touched a computer before, and we can learn to connect on Zoom, or we can learn to do emails, or we can learn to do whatever, so we can learn to be more aware of the reality of God with us. And it's just a matter of finding and experimenting with lots of different ways. Even that verse when Jesus says, I'm with you always. One of the things that I've done in the last couple of weeks that I found really helpful is, as I'm sitting on the couch, imagining Jesus sitting on the couch opposite me. Because Jesus is with me, and that imagination is just making it concrete for me. And somehow giving Jesus my attention is a bit more captivating than what might be on the TV screen. And I've also tried from time to time, as I'm just walking somewhere, just being aware that Jesus is next to me, even with his arm around my shoulder. Just simple things like that. And there's many different ways we can do that, and innumerable ways, and you can probably come up with your own that work better for you. But just ways that we can grow in our awareness of the loving God being with us on a moment-by-moment basis. And you can think, you think, well, I can't make much of a difference. Whatever. But here's the thing, right? Maybe you just want to say, I want to get 2% better at that each week this year. I want to get 2% better at being consciously aware of God being with me. And if you just do 2% a week, you'll be almost three times better at being aware of God being with you at the end of the year than you are now. Three times better just for getting a tiny bit better each week. So we're amphibious, we're spiritual natives. We can live in the two worlds at the same time. That's the way God designed us to live. The second simple word, like. And when we think about being like Jesus, people think, I've got to give up all of these things, and being a Christian, I don't get to do all these fun things. And in some ways, it's a killjoy. Well, again, I would like to quote C.S. Lewis, which is quoted in Kenneth Bower's book. Lewis explained how he came to understand the difference between what we often pursue and what we really want. Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what it is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. That's a shocking statement, isn't it? That the Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We think that we've got it somehow twisted in our minds that being separate from God is where the fun happens. Or being separate from God is where the joy happens. But no, we've got it the wrong way around. God is the most joy-filled being in existence, in the universe. You can't go anywhere else that's more joyful than in the presence of God. And so you might like to think about what's one of the simple like Jesus characteristics that you want to grow in this year. Is it faith? Is it hope? Is it peace? Is it joy? Is it patience? Is it kindness? Is it lack of anger? Is it lack of sort of less of some things and more of other things? There might be a whole lot of different ones that you want. But just one we've already referred to is just this one in joy. A guy who was in chains in prison wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice." And this is just a snapshot of what we looked at in the Peace and Joy spiritual coaching group last year. What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? Well, this is what it means. It means to share in, experience, and express God's joy. One of the simple exercises we did in that course was a sunset exercise, and we're going to have just a brief taste of that now. Obviously, it's not a sunset. And when you do this, you should actually take more time than we're going to allocate. You might spend, 5, 10, 15, even 15 minutes doing this. But I just want you to enter into the process so you at least know the process and you can then go and repeat it some other time. So because we don't have a sunset, I'm going to provide us with a photo of the sunset. And I just want you to gaze at that sunset and look at it and place yourself in the scene. Maybe move closer to the screen to make it more a bigger part of your field of view. And as you're there, just think about the gifts that God has given you that you appreciate. For the things that you have around you, for the people, for the way God's provided for you. Just get in touch with your gratitude to God. Now just recall a time when God seemed particularly close to you. Maybe it was 20 years ago, maybe it was yesterday. Just recall the time where God seemed particularly close to you. Now, one of the things that brings us joy is when we create something. And so God's with us looking at this picture of this sunset which God created. And so just in your mind's eye, be aware of God being next to you. God smiling at the sunset that he made. And just let God share his joy at the sunset with you. Give yourself permission to just experience God's joy at this sunset. And now even let your face just begin to smile as there would be a face on Jesus' face, smile on Jesus' face too. Just begin to allow yourself to express that joy that God is sharing with you. Is real. Now you might like to stay there for a much longer time than we have now, but so feel free some other time during the day. Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I reckon if we just aim to do that sort of thing twice a day, where we deliberately and consciously connect with the joy that God experiences all the time and let that fill our beings, that would be a great thing to do. That would be a simple snapshot. So we're amphibious people, we're spiritual natives like. We can be joy-filled people because God is a joy-filled God. And for living for God. Here's a verse from Colossians chapter 3. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, and we've talked about this before, so this is just a quick reminder. To do something in the name of the Lord means to do something on Jesus' behalf and with his resources. So whatever you do in word or deed, vision for our lives is that we do those things, whether it's at home or with our neighbours in a workplace or with friends, whether it's work or play, whether it's learning or whatever else it is, we can grow more in doing those things on Jesus' behalf and with his resources. And I just want to give us two things to pray about in living a snapshot of living for God this year. So there's 2% improvement a week we can aim for it, living in the world with God and in the world at the same time. 2 times a day we can rejoice and share in and express God's joy. And 2 things that we might like to pray about this year as we seek to live for Jesus with his resources and on his behalf. And that's to pray about wisdom and interruptions. You see, Jesus is the category expert at whatever you're doing. Is it transport? Well, Jesus is an expert at transport. He was walking on the water well before hovercraft. Is it catering? Jesus was an expert at catering, both bread and fish and wine, for that matter. Is it about helping people who are sick? Jesus was the expert at that. Is it about doing your taxes? Well, Jesus was the expert at paying temple taxes. Whatever field of or domain of knowledge or area of activity you find yourself in, God is the expert at that. And if we are with God in those places doing those things, we can simply ask God for his wisdom. You know, if you're in a workplace, that workplace would be better if there was more of God's wisdom operating, wouldn't it? And if you're in a family situation, that family situation would be better if there was more of God's wisdom. And so it's not about us being the center of intention or us getting the credit for things or whatever else. We just humbly and say, God, give us wisdom for these situations. God, give me wisdom for the meeting I'm about to go into. God, give me wisdom as I try and juggle homeschooling and home working at the same time. God, give me wisdom as I try and get through all my medical appointments for today about how I interact with the people that will be there and how I respond to the news I get. God, give me your wisdom. And the second thing is to pray that God would help us to recognize the opportunities for God to do something amazing in the unplanned interruptions of life. When we read the stories of Jesus in the Gospels, we see many times that he was interrupted. Now, Jesus was out in the countryside and a leper came and knelt at his knees and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus didn't go to find the man. The man just sort of interrupted Jesus' life and Jesus healed him as a leper. Jesus was going to heal Jairus' daughter, a significant synagogue leader, and then some unknown person who had been sick for 12 years touched the hem of his garment in the bustle and jostle of the crowd, and he stopped and engaged with that person and brought healing into that person's life. Even Peter and John were going after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, and when they were going to the temple to pray, they passed a man who was lame, and they noticed him, and they turned to the side, and they brought Jesus' healing to him. Even Paul was in Philippi, and he was going around about his normal business, and then a slave girl was coming after him and basically demonically saying some true things about him. So he turned around and cast the demon out of her, you see. It's in the interruptions where God can do some amazing things in the lives of those around us. Now, I'm not expecting that we'd necessarily be people that are going to pray for and see miracles straight away, but maybe we are. Maybe it's just being aware of the person that you're passing on the footpath as you walk and stopping to say hello and taking the time to honour them and love them by giving them your attention and seeing if they would like a conversation. So praying for wisdom and praying that we would be aware of what God might want to do in the seemingly unplanned interruptions of life. So there's some snapshots as we think about what our lives might be at the end of this year, growing in the with, like, and for God life. Maybe we can get 2% better at each week about being aware of God being with us. Maybe we can rejoice 2 times a day and share in experience and express God's unlimited joy, even in the midst of sorrowful circumstances. Maybe we can pray about 2 things that will help us to live more effectively for Jesus in all of the places where we actually carry out our lives. And the final word is copy. And I'm not going to say too much about this other than to say we don't have an option about whether we'll copy people. We all copy people consciously or unconsciously. And even if we don't copy people fully, we are influenced by what they do. And so copying others is not an option. We all do it. That's the way we learn stuff. You did it when you're a young child. You did it when you're a teenager. You did it when you're in your 20s. You do it when you're in your middle age. You do it when you're old age. We just copy people. We can't avoid it. So the only question is, who am I going to copy? Who am I intentionally going to copy? Are there some people that are really good at living with God in conscious awareness of being with God? Maybe you can say, I want to copy them. Maybe there's some people that have the characteristic of Jesus of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and say, well, I want to copy them. Or maybe there's some people that you see that, yeah, they live for God and they seem to live with God's, go through life with God's resources and with God's wisdom. And God seems to use their interruptions in surprising ways. I want to copy them. And ultimately, of course, we can copy Jesus, you see. It's all about copying Jesus and copying people who copy Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that you would help give each of us a vision for our life as followers of Jesus this year. God, I pray that these snapshots might just spark something in people's hearts and think, yeah, I can be more like that, or I want to go for that, or I want to learn this, I want to copy that. That would be different for each one of us, God, because we are all unique individuals. And I just pray that you would even right now, I guess, begin to drop mental pictures into people's minds of what they could grow into this year, that you would give them fresh ideas about things to do. Lord, so that all of us might know what it is to live more fully in the life that you offer us, the life that you invite us into, and the life that's the best opportunity, the greatest opportunity that anybody could ever have put before. God, help us to embrace it this year by your grace and with your power and for your glory. Amen.